Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Saturdays with Jenny.
One of the things I love most at the beginning of a year are lists of trends. Because no matter how well briefed we are, no matter how clever we think we are, no matter how clever our friends are, we all need briefings. So we need to know what the trends are so that we can get ahead of the wave. And I was reading quite an interesting article. In fact, I thought it was really, really interesting, by the editor of The World, which is an international publication. And immediately I picked up the phone to Dion Chang, who is just around the corner from us. And he is Mr. Flux Trends. And he has got 6 key trend pillars. So we decided to put these two lists together and see if we can make whoopee. So Dion Chang, welcome to Kaya FM right at the beginning of the year.
Hi, Jenny. Thank you so much for having me. And I think it's going to be a whoopee year.
It's going to be a something year, I can tell you already. I mean, it's got all the hallmarks, hasn't it?
Yes. I hate to, rain on everybody's new year, new me parade. But I kind of, if you see the world through my lens and the 6 pillars that we've researched, there's a more of the same of 2020 coming along. But there are some very, very interesting shifts within those sort of undercurrents and things.
All right. So, well, let's talk about those shifts because, time moves on and I want to get this all down and ready to rock and roll. So the 6 key trend pillars, did you find any similarities with this other trend list that I've got from The World, which I did think was interesting?
Yes. No, absolutely. There's a lot of overlap and dovetailing. And just for the listeners, just to clarify, the 6 pillars that we talk about at Flux, we use the acronym TRENDS, so TRENDS, and those stand for technology, retail, the state of the economy, the natural world, diplomacy, and social and cultural trends. So it's we're actually only releasing this on the 2nd of February. So this is a snapshot and an executive summary of what people can expect of what the year ahead is and just where the world really, really is. So, take your pick. It's pick a card. Pick one of the 6 cards and we can delve right into those.
All right. Well, I want to just pick up on the very first one from The World. And it loosely fits into technology, but not so much. And it's fights over vaccines. And I can already see on the horizon fights over vaccines.
Yes. So, we just did a prelim release and we put that under a diplomacy pillar.
Right.
Because it was about that talks were in 2020 when people were starting to say, OK, when we get the vaccine, what do we do? And it was dubbed vaccine diplomacy. So everybody was playing nice with each other. And that really very quickly, and we can see what's happened now, has moved into vaccine nationalism. So everybody's sort of hoarding their, vaccines. So much for singing Kumbaya for the rest of the world, and everybody's going to, share the vaccines. It's rich countries against poor countries. And even though we are part of that COVAX alliance, we're still going to be at the end of the queue to do that. And you see the different countries, obviously more developed countries and wealthy countries, that have got, almost a surplus. They can kind of do the entire population and still have some counting. And yet we're still waiting for the first million to kind of hit our shores and then roll out from there.
Yeah, I mean, I see massive problems ahead with that, really massive problems. Especially when you're disorganized, which I think we are, but that will unfold.
Jenny, just before you go on, and the other dangerous thing, and I think people should be, really wary about that, is also it's already developing on the dark web, is sort of the black market of vaccines as well. So, people are pushing or selling vaccines in the black market. So it's going to get very, very complex and rather ugly, I think, this year.
Yes. And then, of course, then they're going to be fake vaccines.
Yes.
Because that is an inevitable sort of follow up. So let's start at the beginning, because one of the key things that we have learned from 2020 is technology and how we've leapfrogged somehow or other, sort of 5-10 years in advance, and that is also one of your trends.
Yes, so it's sort of widely agreed upon that we'd accelerated about 5 years in 1 year last year. And it was not only technologies, but it was also just sort of concepts. So just the entire, flexible breaking out of that 9-to-5, which I've been, going on about for quite a few years, suddenly became a reality for a lot of companies. But I think what's interesting that is in tandem with the technology is the emergence of a contactless economy. So more and more and more, we've just sort of seen how we don't, or we forced not to engage with each other, or your shopping is online. Everything's started to become this contactless world that we have. And within that, in this presentation that I'm building at the moment, you'll start seeing that robotics specifically has become really normalized. So, just a couple of years ago, we thought we'd see these humanoid robots going around the place. But what I've put, into this is not only, so there's medical robots, there are kind of lifestyle concierge type robots, and then there's service robots. And some of them do look like humanoids, but then there are other ones that are very unobtrusive that just, look like, if you're a Star Wars fan, they look like R2-D2. So they're just becoming more commonplace. And it fascinates me that even 2 years ago, you talk about robotics, it was sort of seen as this far off future. And now it's going to be quite normal to be having, a telepresence robot, which is what they actually have in South Africa at Tigerberg Hospital, was this telepresence robot that came into a ward where families couldn't see it, and you could connect a patient with their families, during this really, really stressful time. So that's a really, really interesting one. And the other one that we've just put a flag, because in each of these pillars, we also put a little bellwether of what's happening. And one of the bellwethers was the fact that in Orlando, Florida, they've broken ground for one of the world's first, they call them vertiports. So I've been going to conferences around the world when one could travel to look at the future of urban air mobility. And in layman's terms, this is literally a flying taxi or a passenger drone that takes about three passengers, one pilot, and it's for short distances. And it's been remarkable that while we've been focused on the pandemic, Spain has introduced their system of how they're going to do it, and they're going to unroll it in 2022, Japan 2023, South Korea 2025. But the fact that they've actually built this port, this heliport, vertiport, specifically for passenger drones, is quite remarkable. So, the future is closer than you think.
So, in other words, it's an Uber of the sky.
Yes, and people say, well, that's it's sort of unsafe, and actually, the drone technology is safer. In the airspace is easier to manage than ground space. So, if you think about it, people say, well, what's that going to be useful for? I said, if you look at the African continent. A place like Namibia, with vast spaces and people trying to get to farms in long distances, people trying to just do a smaller commute in Lagos during that nightmare, rush hour traffic, all of those kind of things, passenger drones are actually going to make quite a lot of sense. And you have various companies doing their versions. And if a company like Airbus is not doing one but three different versions of their passenger drones, then why would they put so much money into something that is not really going to, well, excuse the pun, to fly? But you've got serious money going into urban air mobility, and that's the generic term for it.
All right. Well, let's look at another pillar. And I am fascinated with what is going to happen to the world of work, because although everybody I know is working very comfortably and successfully from home and having Skype meetings or having Zoom meetings and saving huge amounts of money in terms of rental and all of that, but with the more staid companies, is this really going to be the future, or are we going to go backwards? Because I do see it as going backwards with 150 people on one floor and, everybody got their own desk, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think the biggest shift that happened in 2020 was separating the concept of work and place of work, and they're not the same thing. We've discovered it's not the same thing. So, you know, having said that, I don't think we will really return to that full time clocking in 9 to 5, and I'm very, very thankful for that, because I just think it's a quaint relic of the 20th century. But what is interesting is the sort of the economic ripple effect of just that work from home. So you've got this word that they've put together called semigration. So it's not, you're not migrating somewhere, but you're moving to a different town or a further flung suburb because there's more space. There's been a shift already to second tier cities, what they call second tier cities. In South Africa, that would be, you know, like a East London or a PE, smaller city, more affordable, and you can commute and you can work from home. But what is interesting is that there's murmurings in Europe about a work from home tax. Now, that's really interesting, because this was brought about by the Deutsche Bank, and they said, well, you know, if we have to rebuild these kind of things, there's reduced costs and everything like that. So if an employer wants to you know, stay at home and work there, maybe they should start proposing this work from home tax. So we're getting into quite complex sort of new economic models. But in terms of lifestyles as well, what I found really funny was while we can work from home and a lot of people are happy about it, the prospect, well, this is specific for how I started my year, the prospect of sitting at the same desk, on the same chair and staring into the same screen for another 10 months just made me want to, you know, scream and tear my hair out. But strange little lifestyle things are happening. So there's a thing bubbling up. I mean, it's not a huge trend, but it's just it's a humorous one about a fake commute. So in order for you to just kind of, if you miss the office, and it actually makes a lot of sense, because if you think about it, you know, if you're driving into the office, there is that transition time from home to work and then work from home, and you kind of break it with that. You know, just getting up and closing your laptop and then going to the kitchen and having supper is not an ideal thing for your mental health state. So you've got these fake commutes, you've got new things. A lot of countries are offering digital nomad visas. So they're saying, come and work in our country because you can work remotely. And then the concept of workations started bubbling up last year. If you're really, really tired and you've got cabin fever, is just go someplace else with Wi-Fi and change the scenery. And it's not a complete vacation, but it's a workcation. So a lot of things happening around this concept.
Dion, I noticed at not the last Black Friday, but the Friday before, and we were, I think, under lockdown at that stage, or almost under lockdown at that stage, that companies like Superbalist were offering, well, I mean, it was nonstop, and Yuppie Chef and other companies that I hadn't even heard of. And I've become quite used to shopping online. What is this going to do? This falls under technology. I mean, there's a wonderful thing that you talk about, H&M, which is a store that I enjoy, has installed a circular economy machine. Just explain what this is all about.
Okay, so just on, firstly on the migration online, you know, psychologists say it takes you 21 days to form a new habit. Well, we've had 10 months of it, so it's going to be really, really entrenched. And if we've got another, you know, hopefully not, but another 10 months ahead of us of the same kind of thing. That's, you know, if you've gotten used to, if you've never done online grocery shopping, you've gotten used to that, then it's just going to become second nature. So there is going to be migration for that. Overlapping this, it's an interesting dovetail. So I always remind people to look at 2019, of what was happening in 2019 to pick up for trends in 2021, because 2020 we're kind of not going to remember much. Your brain creates memories out of new experiences, and if you've not had a new experience for 10 months and you've been in the same room, then it's just going to be a blur. But one of the things that was reaching a tipping point was sustainability, and we've called it closing, in terms of retail, closing the green gap. So a circular economy, for the listeners who haven't come across it, is it's a closed system where you don't put new materials or new you know, fabrics, whatever you need to do, into the process. So the machine that you're talking about at H&M is just in a flagship, but it's a big, bold reputational step for the brand to say we are looking at sustainability. So the circular economy machine that they put there is if you have an H&M outfit or that you wanted to get rid of, you, instead of just throwing it away and it lands up in a landfill, you take it into store. It literally shreds the garment into fiber, and the fibers are rewoven into a thread, and that thread is then made knitted into a garment. So it's quite a limited, for this machine, limited usage, but you could take in a dress or a T-shirt, and out would spit a new scarf, another new T-shirt or whatever. And that's a circular economy. And you're starting to see this happen in specifically home care and personal goods. There's a wonderful experiment that started in 2019 called Loop. And they went to all of the big suppliers, so your Procter & Gamble's, Unilever's, Reckitt Benckiser's, and they said, join us in this journey to reduce single-use plastic. So it's a replenishment model. So mm-hmm. you order your dishwasher, your this. They've even got Häagen-Dazs ice cream on their list as well. They will deliver those in branded containers from the different brands. And then when you finish, instead of throwing it out, you just phone Loop again and you say, can you replenish my washing powder, this, whatever? And they will come and collect those the containers and then give you that thing. And you're seeing this happen more and more and more. And I think 2020 is when this tipping point will happen, where we are starting to understand a circular economy and make sure that we don't start using more new plastics or more materials that we don't need, and we just use what we have been using and recycle, upcycle, and keep using it. And that's a circular economy in essence.
All right, we're going to take a short break and back with you in just a second. If you've just tuned in, of course, you're listening to Kaya FM. I am chatting to Dion Chang about the major trends for 2021.
Saturdays with Jenny.
Back again, and Dion Chang is there. We're talking trends. We're talking the top trends, or the major trends, I suppose. Dion calls them pillars. And Dion, you've got a presentation coming up, haven't you?
Yes, we released this. It's our version of this, the state of the nation, as you will. It's called The State We're In. We do it at the beginning of every year. And so we're actually revealing and launching all of this on a virtual event on the 2nd of February. So all will be revealed at that session. But these are just sort of tasters of what we've been researching and picking up. And it's a snapshot of what's to come this year.
All right. So if people want to come along to that full-on presentation, how do they do it?
Just go to our website, www.fluxtrends.com, and it's called an open session because most of our research is for clients, and these open sessions are our only public events where we actually release all of the research to in a public space so people can access that as well.
Well, listen, before you rush off into the brave new world of 2021, let's have a look at the natural world. And you calling it zoonotics and fossil fuel pariahs. I'm just seeing everything melting around us. And I think it is one of, I see that COVID is not going to last forever. But this climate change, I think, is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to follow on from that, COVID might not last forever, but everybody is kind of bracing themselves because this is not the last pandemic that we're going to experience. And there's been people been shouting out about it, your David Attenborough's for a long time. But, the frequency of these diseases that jump from the animal world to humans, which is zoonosis or zoonotics, is becoming more and more frequent. And if you even go, back in history, your HIV virus, all of those things jumped from the animal kingdom. And what they're saying, the reason why they're saying it's going to become more frequent is that we are starting to really encroach upon the natural world, urbanization, deforestation, all of those kind of things. And we are coming into closer and closer and closer proximity with the animal kingdom, and we need to really balance that out. And we've seen what the dreadful fallout with that has been. But linked to that is the climate change. And it's very interesting that there was a Lancet report that came out late last year that actually says they would like to position, or they're urging health authorities to position climate change as an urgent health risk. And that is really interesting because you've got things like last year, it was also, they tied the death of a nine-year-old girl in the UK.
Yes.
It's the first time they've actually tied the death of that to what they call ambient pollution. Mm. And it's sort of carbon emissions, all of those kind of things. But one of the bellwethers for sustainability and just where we're going, and just a snapshot of, well, how remarkable and how crazy the world is, a young 25-year-old Australian man sued his super fund. And he said they did not manage the risks of climate change in his investment portfolio. So the remarkable thing is he won his case. So that's why we're calling them fossil fuel pariahs, because any company that is sort of dealing with fossil fuels or extraction of fossil fuels are really, really in the crosshairs, because even a publication like The Guardian in the UK actually sent out a release saying they will no longer accept any advertising from any companies that are dealing or extracting in fossil fuels. So that's quite a remarkable step of what when climate change goes from the environmental sort of sector into the financial sector, there is where, you know, the money talks and the money hurts if you hit that, and it's starting to hit investment firms, big business, all of those kind of things. So it will reach that tipping point.
It really is. It really is extraordinary what is happening. And I wouldn't invest a penny in anything that was fossil fuels. And I think South Africa needs to think this thing through very, very carefully, because we're so stubborn about staying with coal. But anyway, that's another discussion. Dion, I think I found this absolutely absorbing. I love it. And I think the flux trends, or the flux report, and all of the pillars, I find really, really absorbing. People can, obviously, they can go online and they can see what we've been speaking about, but they can go and register for your full-on presentation.
Yes, it's just a quick hour. It's 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and it's a brain food buffet, because it really shows you where you are. And just a last little hint is we're going to take people into seeing what life is in the metaverse, which is just kind of moving into cyberspace. And, the e-commerce is so 2016. We're now moving into v-commerce, which is a virtual economy that's coming through. But we'll explore and unpack that on the second.
Dion Chang, thank you very, very much indeed for joining us.
Thanks, Jenny.
Saturdays with Jenny, every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m. on Kaya FM 95.9. Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.